Yeah, thank you, Lewis, for doing that. So thank you all GNOME and Red Hat and Symbian hackers for my desktop. This talk will be about GStreamer, obviously, but it'll be less of a technical talk and more of a, well, things you can do with GStreamer and just whet your appetite for Ronald's talk later on. I'll first give you a short overview of my talk. We'll be talking about TWD and USB, then move on to TMS. Explain various key concepts of GST, and then start prototyping. And in the end, I will give an overview and a roadmap of stuff still yet to come and yet to do by me or by other hackers. Last year I was in Boston. I was invited by the GNOME Foundation to do a GStreamer presentation there. And there was this really inspiring closing talk by Havoc about how we should move to the next level of taking over desktops. We're at less than 1% right now, and the changes we're making now are there to get us to the next 10% of users. So it was really inspiring, and I was thinking about it and trying to come up with some way of achieving that goal. And I was thinking about the various desktops that are there right now, and they're targets and the things they do or the philosophies they have. Like, we in GNOME, we want less options, we want everything to work out of the box, we have a human interface guide. KDE has full configurability as a philosophy. macOS has a lot of eye candy and it buys you a lot of artistic personality if you use macOS. And Windows has a lot of applications. So I went to After Hours Business School and I learned that a USP is really important. You have to find something that is unique so you can sell whatever it is that you're making. And I was thinking that none of these desktops actually have a really good USP that's easy to market. So I had a study done by a Korean firm, and they did a very thorough marketing study, and they sent me a bunch of graphs. This one speaks for itself. Most people use Windows. And the next one they gave me, these are only two slides out of a really long study, but the next slide is, well, you can expect most of the results. So what do you want in your desktop? You can see that GNOME users mostly want more options. The KDE guys want less bloat. And one thing is really interesting, because it seems that most Windows users don't want more stability, but they want a karaoke machine. So that's like 95% of them. And I understood what that meant, but I didn't understood what I had to do then. So we have, at work, we have this sales guy who can do this sort of thing before breakfast. I don't understand all of these colors and graphs. And he summarized the whole thing in one slide for me. And that's this slide. So we are below 1% at this point. And if we're able to provide this one USP on GNOME, then we're pretty sure that we can get a whole bunch of the markets using GNOME. So I thought, well, that should be easy, because I work in GStreamer and karaoke is multimedia. Shouldn't be a problem. So this is what we will have next year at the LWE booth. I've talked this over with other people, and they want to do that there. So on to karaoke. I'm using karaoke as a good example of what GStreamer can do and of some of the features and some of the ways you would be making a real application. You can do this application if you want to, of course. So I'm going to look at what we need, why you should use GStreamer for this, what GStreamer is. I'll give a really short overview, not too technical, because Ronald will be getting into more detail later on, and mention what needs to be done still. So for a good karaoke machine, obviously you need audio playback. It's nice to have visualization because most, well, you want to see something moving on the screen as well as on stage when someone's singing. You could integrate video as well. You could have the actual video clip playing. And you probably need subtitling as well because you want people to be able to sing along when they don't know the words. So why should you use GStreamer for it? Well, it's pretty easy to do it in GStreamer. At least the basics are very easy. There are a lot of elements that already work. We have audio and video and mixing and output and whatever. We didn't have a subtitling element, but I'll come back to that later. GStreamer has synchronization built in, basically. It's still being worked on, but the way it works is so that you don't really have to worry about whether it works or not. It's all implemented in the elements, and they listen to one clock, and so basically you get synchronization for free. Mixing multiple formats is easy. You can send out multiple audio streams and video streams and whatnot. It's also easy to do prototyping because we have a shell a shell command line application in which you can test out various pipelines. For the harder work, we have an editor, which I'll show later on, because most of the examples are done with the editor. And we now have good Python bindings in which it is really easy to write GStreamer applications. And last week we got a mail that someone is working on the Ruby bindings and he's already running applications with it. Beyond that, we also have GDK Sharp, and apparently there's a media player working in Mono as well. So there are a lot of good reasons to do it in GStreamer. So I'll keep this really short because these are just slides I copied from a previous presentation. So that's what I'll be saying. GStreamer is actually two things. You have a core, a streaming media framework. It doesn't know anything about media, it just schedules. You can create filter graphs the way you want. I'll show an example also later on. And it's all based on GObject and GLib. The plugins are the elements that actually provide functionality, like audio playback, decoding, encoding, video playback, demuxing, and so on. I suppose most of you have some idea what GStreamer is about, so I won't go into it that much. The best analogy for GStreamer is actually that it is what GTK is for user interfaces. It does for multimedia applications. We have similar applications, like the editor is the same thing as Blade. It can load and save XML files and run them, and you can load and save those files from applications as well. It still needs some work, of course, but basic XML playback works from the command line. We have a few test applications as well. GST Player is our main test application for playback, and Julian is now working on porting Totem to use GStreamer. We also have plugins and documentation, of course. This is not really that important, but we started GStreamer, or actually Eric started GStreamer, because there was no good alternative that pulled together a lot of libraries on Linux. And the things it is not, that's also important. Most people think that somehow it is a sound server, but it's not. You could write a sound server in it, but it's not a sound server, and I don't think anyone in our team is willing to write a sound server at all, so we're not going to do that. It's not only for GNOME. Actually, at my last talk, I had a few KDE guys coming over to me, and they had written a Rhythmbox-like application totally in KDE using GStreamer, and it seemed to work very well. So KDE is looking at GStreamer at this point as well. We might even go to Prague this summer for their gathering. Okay. So I'm going to explain the simple concepts about GStreamer. This is an element, what it looks like. This is a Vorbis decoder. It has a sync pad and a source pad. Sync pads receive data and source pads give back data to other elements. So basically, pads are the way you can connect elements together. And when you connect elements together, you get this. This is what we call a graph. This is a very simple one. You just connect three elements. If you would set this to play in the editor, then it would actually load a file, decode it, and play it out to your OSS device. So that's all very basic stuff. Okay, so when you're coding an application, you have to start thinking about what it is that you need to do. You first start by experimenting using GST launch command lines. I'll show some later. And then when it gets too hard to remember all of the characters you have to type, then you start saving it in the editor. It's also important that most of the time you need to write elements. GStreamer forces you to write elements so that elements can be reused by other applications and other people. Most of the times, applications are really very specific, and for example, most video editing applications in Linux at this point only use one or two formats, but they never support all of them or a whole range of them. So people integrate libraries or code their own stuff, and it's not possible to later on move beyond whatever it is that they've coded. That's one of the issues GStreamer wants to solve. And another thing you need doing, and I've learned that a lot over the last 2-3 weeks, is fix a lot of bugs in some of the stuff that never gets used. I did some new things in the editor, which crashed it a lot, and I spent most of my time preparing for this talk by fixing bugs in the editor and elements. Okay, so I'm going to start and build up the karaoke machine one by one, or at least the raw implementation of it. And of course, for a karaoke machine, I was looking for an appropriate song, and I found this song on a website somewhere. So now I'm loading the editor up. You can, yeah, okay. And this is the most simple pipeline I showed back there. It just reads from a file, it parses the WAV file, and it plays it out. So if I press play here.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free.
So that's the free software song. That's what I'll be using throughout the presentation. Which is in fact a mistake, because last night while I was trying to get some sleep, the song was playing in my head over and over again. And next time I'll take a better song, because, well, yeah, you can hear that he's not very good at singing. So that's the start. That's a simple pipeline, and it looks like, maybe I can show that. So this is the pipeline. Pretty simple, a file source, you can set properties. They're all G objects, so you set G object properties on the command line for the location, then parse it, and then play it out. The exclamation marks are actually the path connections. So that's the most simple pipeline. Then I was thinking it would be nice to have visualization on it, so that was the next step. Also very simple. So you get a file, parse it again, and then you use Goom, which is a visualization element, then some color space conversion because I have very crappy video cards, and then you get something like this. This is based on the audio. It's not very spectacular, but it's just one of the visualization plugins. And then the next one. Next one is where I started to use subtitling. And subtitling elements, well, I had thought up this presentation like more than a year ago. Like, it would be fun to do this kind of presentation. And then last month I started thinking, well, what do I need? And I had to write a subtitler, but I don't know anything about Pango and FreeType, and all that stuff scares me. But luckily, since it's free software, just one day after I started thinking about it, someone sent a bug report with a subtitle element. So it pretty much worked. It had some bugs, but I had a good element to start from, and I didn't have to do that much myself anymore, except for fixing it myself or getting some of our guys to fix it, like Ronald yesterday. So this is with subtitling. And the pipelines get increasingly more complex, of course. It doesn't do a very good job at laying them out, but this is kind of what it looks like. So you have the same thing as we had just then, the parsing pipeline. But then there's an overlay plugin there, where you can see the two connections coming in. And there's another text file being read and parsed for subtitles. So the video, the text is actually overlaying on the video. So then it looks like this. This is just the previous example without sound, but with text overlaying on top. And you would be able to sing along with the bold letters. So, this isn't very interesting yet, because you can't hear anything and you can't actually sing along. But that's the next step. We combine the tree, and then you get this. Still bigger. So I'm going to move some things around again. There's just one bug that I was too lazy to fix. You can see that there's an element missing over here. For some reason it's not rendering, but it's there. So what I'm doing actually is, when I'm reading the files of disk, it's also sending, T is an element that copies data to two output paths. So you can use the same data twice, and that's what I do here. I just play back the data at the same moment as it gets rendered.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free hackers. You'll be free. Join us.
So, that was the tree combined. And then I started thinking, well, it would look a lot better if I had actual video footage. So I started browsing around the web for Richard Stallman presentations. But that's, you should try it sometime. It's really hard to do, because most sites say, well, we have video of Stallman, that we don't stream in any free software format, and Richard Stallman has withheld permission to actually put the talk online. So there's not any good footage of him. But there is. Someone pointed me to something that had something to do with the Revolution OS movie, and there's this band that actually plays a free software song. And I found an MPEG file of it. And if you want to decode the MPEG file, thread it, then it looks something like this. This is threaded playback. So you have a file source, then an MPEG demuxer, which isn't connected yet because this can only be done when it's set to play. We play back the audio here, and then the video part goes here to the MPEG decoder, to the overlay, which will give us subtitling, and then back out.
Hi, we're the GNU Stallmans, and this is the free software song.
The lead singer looks a lot
join
like Bastion.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free. Hackers, you'll be free.
You can also see some bits, errors up there. So that's mostly how far I got, and these are some of my ideas for next year's presentation, because I found out that not everything is finished yet. So the first thing I wanted to try was to use a pitch shifter element and just program the tune so that Richard Stallman actually sings the tune. But as it turned out, we had some errors in the LUTSPA plugins that I might have been able to fix but didn't have time for, which I will probably do next. Even better would be to just replace Richard Stallman entirely with a festival plugin that just reads the lyrics. That would sound like this. The festival plugin we have is really old, so it locks up the UI for a short bit, but while it talks to the server and renders the sound. So I'm just going
join
to...
us now and share the software. You will be free, hackers. You will be free. Join us now and share the software. You will be free, hackers. You will be free. Hoarders may get piles of money. That is true, hackers. That is true. But they cannot help their neighbors. That's not good, hackers. That's not good. When we have enough free software at our call, hackers, at our call, we'll throw out those dirty licenses evermore. Hackers evermore. Join up.
Okay, so basically you can do that. I recorded it to a Vorbis file because, well, it's an old plugin, so it probably does something stupid like looping eternally, which needs to be fixed. So I saved it to an editor file, to a Vorbis file, so I can also use it with subtitles. Which is pretty much the same thing as you saw before.
Join us now and share the software. You will be free, hackers. You will be free.
I didn't adjust the timestamp because
it takes
a lot of time.
Join us now and share
the
software. You will be free, hackers. You will be free.
Okay. And then the next thing you could do is to actually personalize it by using a video of people that you know. And I was looking for a good video of a friend of mine somewhere that I had made with my camera. And he does a little dance to the music. So this is probably the most complicated pipeline I can show you at this point in GStreamer, so I'll take some time to explain it. Okay. Actually, it's pretty much the same as the one for the video we used, only we use the threads a little differently. So again, you have a file source, you decode the MPEG files, you get video and audio out of it, audio goes to the button. I did something different here. The audio file is still the Richard Stallman file. So what you see here is two completely different pipelines that aren't connected in any way, and they're being run simultaneously. So if I'm lucky, then the synchronization should be okay if my machine can keep up. And if it doesn't, yeah.
Join us now and share the software. You'll be free hackers. You'll be free. Join us now and share the software. You'll be free hackers. You'll be.
So, I didn't even know this was possible, but they told me on IRC that I could in fact run two completely separate pipelines if I put one of the two inside a thread. So the thread is really just an abstraction that runs in a different thread and starts from the same process, and you shouldn't even be aware that it's a thread. So they explained that to me, that it should work. I tried it, and yes, it actually did work. So that's pretty much how it would work ideally. Then there are more ideas for improvement, of course. You could actually use live input and output. I can't do that because I don't have a camera, but I would love to try that someday and actually get footage of all of you singing the song. You could also use backing music, mod files or MIDI files. There is we don't really have MIDI support at this point in GStreamer, but we have some people who are looking at it. Apparently it's really hard to get right because there's a lot of timing issues involved. You could also use color fonts for rendering. I didn't even know that it was hard to do color rendering using FreeType. So I was just typing in Pango markup in my subtext files. Maybe I'll show you here. So this is what the subtiling format looks right now. You just give two time points when you start displaying and when you stop displaying, two lines of text, and you can just use Pango markup inside of it. So I was typing things like, I don't know what you have to type in Pango again, but it's something like front is, and then a color. And it didn't work, and I was spending like a whole day trying to figure out why color didn't work, and it's just not supported in the free type functions that the guy who wrote the plugin uses. So if someone knows a lot about Pango, feel free to help us out.
How did you mark up all the timescales?
You really want to know? I was trying by hand and just guessing, and I got to like the third subtitle, and then I said, well, this isn't going to work, this is going to take me 4 hours. So I wrote a really simple Python application, and each time I press enter, it just prints the two timestamps, the previous one and the current one. And then I played a video and I just pressed enter at each word.
It's just like a little application where you can go back and edit the timestamps.
Well, there actually is one, but it's not very good, and that's gsub edit, which is a GTK1 app, and you can load subtitles in it. You can convert frame size and so on. So it's not that useful because it crashes a lot still. But it's a good start if you need something. And you could also add a bouncing ball plugin, which probably will be very hard because then you need to define your own file format for karaoke machines. And Christian promised last year, Christian Schaller, promise to buy karaoke videos and DVDs for anyone who's actually willing to work and on karaoke format support. So you should take him up on his offer there. Apparently there is, yeah. I didn't even know, but there are karaoke DVDs that work. That's what all the professional karaoke people use. I should go. Yeah. Right. So I think the DVD standard is more than enough to support karaoke, and I think that's probably what they use, but I haven't tried it myself. So yesterday I was writing my talk in the hacker room, and I thought, well, maybe there actually is already a karaoke program. So I go to FreshMeet, and there are three links, and one is a GNOME karaoke program. So it really already exists, basically. It uses MIDI, and I was really surprised to see that someone had done it. Yeah, Jeff?
It's not called karaoke, is
it? It's G karaoke. It should be karaoke, yeah. Well, maybe we can convince him to work together. I don't think it's that advanced yet, because I don't think the image has anything to do with the song, because the song is John Lennon, I think, and it's just some background image, but there's still work to be done there if you want to. So, stuff you can do to make this better, but also stuff that would benefit all of GStreamer and GNOME. So this is the more serious part of my talk, because I think there's still a lot of things we can do for GNOME. One of the things I want to work on is a media info library, where you can just query for file properties like width and height and metadata and so on. And my opinion is that it should be cached in the same way like thumbnails are for Nautilus, so that you just have a function that gives you all of the data, and if it's not there, it calculates it and then saves it in the XML file for the cache. It would do more than you would expect, because I think for a player application, for example, it should automatically mix and play songs back at the right level so that you get a uniform sound level. And I don't think there are many programs that do that well. I mean, there is a plugin, for example, in XMMS, but it's just working on the fly and not really that good. It would be very good to have a cache that tells you all of this, and any application can just use that data to play back at the right level. So you would be getting all of that for free instead of having to calculate that yourself. And it would be also important to share this with all applications. For example, right now in libgst play, you get the information as soon as you start playing, and you get it through a signal callback, which is totally opposite from what Zine does, because Zine has it before you start playing, which probably is better, especially in Totem, because Totem is more based on the Zine architecture than the other way around. So this is one of the areas where it could be a good idea to use this instead. Other stuff that could be worked on, for example, how to play on Nautilus for both audio and video. Alex Gravely did a hack once, which I got to working for a week, where when you move the mouse over a thumbnail of the video starts playing inside the thumbnail inside Nautilus, which is a really nice hack, and I would like to find people interested in working on that and totally finishing that for Nautilus. I want to work on the audio view that I put in Nautilus Media and display more stuff there. Another thing that I think is important for the GNOME desktop is some way, like you have in Windows but less advanced, some way to define a set of encoding profiles. So you want an encoding profile for just voice recording, you want an encoding profile for CD quality using 4-bits in a quality you define. And all the applications should be able to use that. GNOME Sound Recorder should use it, all the CD grabbing applications. And you would just click on CD quality audio or voice quality audio. And I think it would be really easy to implement this, but it just needs to get done sometime soon. So it would abstract all of the pipelines away from the user and just present human readable names. And it would be just as useful in professional environments. Like, I work at a radio station, and even there it would be useful to have a given set of profiles that you can define in one place and then use in all of the applications. That is, of course, if we would be using Linux all the way through the company. I'm getting a little bit tired, so this last slide I will let Festival read for me.
Users, test our applications, GST Totem, GST Player, GST Editor, Rhythmbox, Quark, Nautilus Media, SoundJuicer, use media files on http://gstreamer.net/media/. Suggest new applications. Run the upcoming test suite on your computer. Hearst developers.
And fix Festival. So, and as a developer, you can help us fix bugs, implement new features. If you want to just learn GStreamer, that's how I started in GStreamer, by trying to read documentation and filling in holes that I couldn't understand, and then look at the code and then decide what was going on and document it. You can write simple applications, more complex applications, write or fix elements. It's actually pretty easy to write elements because there are a lot of good examples to draw from. You should just ask which example to base on, because some of the plugins aren't well maintained. Test and use the bindings. We have, as I said, we have Python, Mono, Ruby, a lot of others as well. Use the tools we provide, because sometimes it's hard to get GStreamer running, in the sense that you can use like 50 supporting libraries. You don't need them all, but if some people always start by trying them all first and trying to get to compile them all first, you should just ask us or use some of the build scripts. GH build is very nice to get running, apart from that SourceForge isn't very good at anonymous CVS checkouts. But other than that, these days it's really simple to get GStreamer to run. And if you want to know even more and take a look at how GStreamer works and how you can develop with GStreamer, you should go to Ronald's talk later on this day in about an hour. That's it for me. I don't know if there are any questions left or anyone actually wanting to develop this application so we can achieve total world domination.
Tell me more about this. Yeah.
Well, the idea is pretty simple. One of our main problems is that between releases, it's really hard to test all of the functionality, the plugins. We have a set of standard media files we use for testing ourselves. And my idea is pretty simple. We just organize the testing files on our site, let users download it, and then run a simple Python or Perl script that just sets up a bunch of pipelines, and we also have an MD5 output sync. So it just calculates an MD5 stamp of the incoming data. So that way you can actually go back to one of the older GStreamers and compare if you're decoding the file in the same way as you used to. So each time you do a release, you just run the test suite on it, or people on different architectures run the test suite on it, and we can actually either check if it gets decoded properly, or test corner cases, segmentation faults, whatever, on different architectures that we don't have access to at this point. Our problem is that it's hard to get users to test stuff because it takes a lot of time. If you just say, well, download all these files, run this application, send us back the results, a lot of people will be more inclined to do so, and we will get a lot better feedback. That's a general idea.
Is someone actually working on that?
I'm working on that currently. I have some sample pipelines. I'm not really happy with them yet, but I'm going to throw them out anyway for first tests and see. Currently, I was doing it in Perl, but I started learning Python like a month ago, and I'm really happy about Python, so I'm going to switch over to that. Yeah, it's pretty simple to write things like that, and I think it would help us tremendously. So if you want to help out, feel free. Jeff?
Do you need help with creating content or anything like that for the test suite and demonstrations? Can anyone help with those sort of things?
Yeah, that could help. It takes a lot of time to find good media files to identify and see what features they actually support. So most of the time, sadly, I'm running mPlayer to find out what codec it uses, what special properties it has, and then figure out if it's a good media file to use for the test suite.
Are you doing any quality testing for the test suite as well?
In what way?
Making sure that the output is the same between in terms of...
Well, we're not doing that enough, because right now we're doing it by just playing all of the files again, and I do it, and Christian does it, and someone else does it, and we say, yeah, it's working, or no, it's not working. But I want actual test data from that test suite that tells me this pipeline is segfaulting for some reason, we have to fix it before we release, or this pipeline is reporting a different MD5 sum than in the last release, so something changed in the code there and we have to check. And then you can play back the actual video file in both releases and see if there's a problem or not. It could be that your supporting library has done some changes as well. So, yeah? What do you mean? If we change the code to optimize and then have different output results, or?
Well, I'm saying you can create the definition of if this is the input, this is supposed to be the output.
Well, that most of the time you can't do that because you're using mathematical functions to actually decode, and you can get rounding errors, and different libraries do it in different ways. So I don't think it's ever possible to take two decoding libraries, run it on the same file, and get the same results. Especially not if you're doing MD5 sums. You could do more complicated stuff like Fourier transforms to check if the properties are basically the same. But I think that's for next year. I mean, I'll be really happy if I can get a test suite going that does simple MD5 summing, so all of you can just run it and send me an email with what works and what crashes, and we can fix it before releasing. Yeah. No, because if we port it to Windows, then we lose our advantage. We have to keep our USP to satisfy them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do basically, but I don't think I have never written something that uses a cache and can access it from different threads and different running processes, so I should just look at Nautilus and see how they do it. If anyone knows more about it and wants to help me and tell me how to do it, then that would be great. And if we can move that to GNOME VFS at some point, when people are more... more okay with GStream being in there, because we're moving in from the fringe and stabilizing as we go for what we need for GNOME, then that would be great. I think it's too soon right now to make GNOME VFS depend on GStreamer, but... Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we should discuss that then. It would be great if GStreamer could do that for GNOME VFS. Any more questions? Yeah?
Is there a place in your file? I mean, how do you do the same file?
Depends on who you ask. We've discussed it a long time for GST Player, and we've had a few maintainers, and Juliana has been maintaining it for a long time now and doing a really good job at it. And he agrees with us that we should keep GST Player as a testing bed for GStreamer. So we try to higgify it and make it GNOME friendly, but we'd rather have full control of it so we are able to test our own framework for what it's meant to be. And I don't know what the word is on it yet, and I've been discussing it with Jeff today as well. Basically, we need to fix internationalization of our error messages, and we also need to fix what our error messages say, because they're more targeted to developers than to users. But other than that, the GStreamer backend for Totem is really getting there. Things we're missing that Totem supports right now is things like DVD support, because we still need to implement interactivity. So actually sending information from the video sync where you click on elements back to the decoding elements, that's something we still have to implement and probably won't be done in the 0.6 timescale. Other than that, most things seem to be getting there. So I would imagine that if we can get it done and get the error messages in there and translation, that it's highly likely that Totem GST will make it in. Yeah. I don't think there will be any question that it will be Totem, because Totem has been designed together with Seth Nickel and is totally HIG compliant and so on. And we as GStreamer would of course like that it uses GStreamer, and that's what we're currently focusing on. Any more questions? Okay, that was it. Tonight.